is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, The Bible as Science and History. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Jim Reeves with Have Thine Own Way, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Tell you how much I appreciate you. So many of you write us regularly in the ministry here, and you tell us you're praying for us, you care for us, you love us, and well, I suppose that just makes my day when I get a letter from the saints. I read every letter that comes in. I promise you that I do. They mean so much to me. They're the lifeblood of the ministry. Our ability to communicate back and forth. Some of you send me emails too. Still some of you are into the old letters. I guess I'm like that too. I don't send a lot of emails. I love to write letters. Of course, it's just so tough on me. All the letters I get, every one I want to answer, but I just don't have the time and really don't have the energy. But you don't know, I formulate answers in my mind to letters that I read. You know, I say, I should answer this brother, sister in this way. Oh, I wish I had the, but you know, you have to sit down, you have to write it, and you have to get the pen and the paper, and you have to get the, and I when you receive sometimes, you know, a couple hundred letters a day, well, even on a slow day, we receive 15 or 20, it seems like. That's pretty tough. And I hope you'll have patience with me here. By the way, one of the things that I personally do when anyone asks us to pray for their needs, I promise you I will pray for you. And God answers prayers. You know, I know God is true. I know He answers prayers. I know from the Bible. You know that old hymn says, the Bible tells me so. I know it's true because the Bible tells me so. Well, not too long ago, I was on a talk show, and I was challenged about some things in the Bible. A man said to me, and by the way, he claimed to be a New Age pastor, a pastor of a New Age church in Houston, Texas. He said, I used to be a regular Christian pastor of a Methodist church, but I left the Methodist church when I found out that so much of the Bible was not true. And I asked him, right there on the radio, I said, can you give me just three examples of things that are not true? And he looked at me, and I guess he had to start digging in his mind. You see, that's an old saw. That's an old hat thing to come up with what I call the straw man. Has no substance at all. Just pure straw. No heart to it. No soul to it. He finally dug around, and he found three things, and of course, God gave me the answer to those things, not because I was a great Bible authority, but because they were such stupid things. They were easy to refute. But it began me on a little search looking at this subject. Can it be documented that the Bible is not only a book of truth and true religion, but can it be documented also that the Bible is a book of history and science? Well, of course, the theologians at the cemeteries, I mean, excuse me, I made a mistake. It's the seminaries. Well, it really is cemeteries. But the theologians and Bible teachers, so-called, at the seminaries, they try to find every hole they can in the Bible. I don't know why they're in that position. Satan put them there in those seminaries. They don't believe that there is a real Bible authoritative, 100% inerrant anyway. So why don't they just leave that job and go do something else? Become a sports announcer. Go dig ditches. Whatever, you know, whatever God would have them do. I know He doesn't want them there, though. They're in the wrong position, wrong field. Well, anyway, over my years in high tech and in history, I could see that there are so many astounding things about this globe that are proven in the Bible. I was recently reading a book by one of these cemetery professors, and he said, of course, the Bible has many wonderful fables and legends in it, but we should not take it as true history. Oh, yeah? Well, I beg to differ, professor, because I'm going to be proving today that the Bible is true in science and history. In fact, this is one of the most fantastic scientific documents ever written by the greatest scientist imaginable, God. He created this whole earth. He knows all about DNA and mathematics. He knows science that people haven't even thought about. I mean, Einstein is just a rusty little beginner. I mean, he didn't know the math that God could spew out in 3 seconds. And of course, we don't know what a second is to God because he has his own time clock. Is time relative? You better believe it. To the absolute in heaven, God, he makes up his own time clocks. Well, God is so great. And I, you know, I decided, well, you know, I need to do a program telling people about all of my discoveries about the Bible being both science and history. We first start off with science. Now, friends, you'll want to get a pen and pencil and take notes because I'm telling you, you're going to find out some astounding things that I'll bet you, you won't find in your local newspaper. Even your local pastor doesn't know these things. And it's taken me many years of research to really develop the knowledge that I have on the Bible as science and history. And I've used some other people's works too. My good friend, Bob Fade, Robert Fade, he's a nuclear engineer. He wrote a book called A Scientific Approach to Biblical Mysteries. A Scientific Approach to Biblical Mysteries. You know, I met with Robert and we discussed that. And boy, we had such a wonderful time, his book and his work. Then he did another book, A Scientific Approach to More Biblical Mysteries. He said there were so many biblical mysteries that have been solved by science, or I should say science, scientific questions that have been solved by the Bible. Now, let me turn it around there. He says he had to do a second book just to put them all in. Well, I hope he does a third and a fourth book in this series because those are fine books. And there, of course, there's Hawley's Bible Handbook, a great old book of the faith. There's Werner Keller's book, The Bible is History. Yes, there is a book by that title. You know, the archaeologists have been shocked. The paleontologists are in a total state of confusion. Biotechnologists cannot believe it. Historians are scratching their heads. Computer architecture people are saying, wow. Astronomers are saying, oh my goodness. Because of the new revelations in science that are proving the Bible. Let me give you just a few. First of all, let's go back in history a bit. Now, when you were a young child, a boy or a girl, you probably were taught that back in the days of Christopher Columbus, they said the earth was flat. Remember, they warned old Christopher, you take that boat out there, you take that ship, your little fleet of three little ships, they'll go off the end of the earth. You'll perish. But it is said that Columbus is the first to discover that the earth is round. Well, really? There were only a few theorists that said the earth was round in the days of Christopher Columbus. Now, folks, that was 1492. Well, the problem with the scientists of that stage and time was just like it is today. They didn't read the Bible. That's all they had to do to find out how the world was shaped and what it was really like in the days of Columbus and before. You see, about 1,000 years before Columbus was ever born, there was a man named Isaiah. He was a prophet of God. Let me tell you what he wrote. He wrote this of God. He was describing God. In Isaiah 40, verse 26, you'll find something astonishing. Now, 1,000 years before Columbus, here's what it says. It is he, in other words, it is God, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things. He said, the inhabitants thereof of the earth, the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. He sits on the circle of the earth and looks down upon us. We have to lift our eyes on high to focus on God. And we're like grasshoppers, little bitty grasshoppers in his eyes. And the heavens stretch out as a curtain for God. He sits upon the, what again? The circle of the earth. You know, when the astronauts went into space, they looked down. They said, now we can see the circle of the earth. Oh, it's so incredible. It's so beautiful. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if one of those astronauts would have said, well, let me get out my Bible and read what Isaiah has to say. Now, that would have been awe-inspiring. 2,500 years before the first space flight by man, was recorded in the Bible, God sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Now, here's another amazing scientific discovery. You know, it's only been this century that doctors and medical people, scientists, finally discovered that, you know, the life is in the blood of the body. You remember Louis Pasteur had a little problem. He says, well, disease are caused by germs, by bacteria. And they just scoffed and they laughed at him, almost ruined his career. I mean, this can't be. And then other scientists, of course, over the centuries have theorized that perhaps there were elements in the blood that caused diseases or healing. You know, they say George Washington may have lived a few years longer, the first president of the United States, but they bled him to death. You see, they believe that there was something in the blood, but they didn't know what, that was very vile and polluted. And so they would, when a man got sick, they would, you know, cut him and let him bleed a little bit. Sometimes they'd take a significant amount of blood. They say George Washington, he didn't get better, so they took out more blood. He didn't get better, they took out more blood. This poor man died. Probably from the lack of blood. They didn't know anything about blood transfusions back then, of course. Bloodletting. Well, if they had only known, they killed him because they didn't realize the life is in the blood. And they're just finding that out. Now they find that chemicals and hormones and all kind of maybe even unknown substances are surging through our blood vessels and capillaries at all times. Life-giving. Sources of replenishment for energy. Our body is being fed. If you cut off the blood to one part of the body, that part will die. It will get gangrene. It will get terribly sick. You'll have to cut it off. And if blood doesn't go to the brain, you will die. If the heart doesn't. And not only that, there are substances within the blood. Germs travel through the blood. They know that now. You get cancer cells in a woman's breast, it may travel to other parts of her body through the blood. You take an aspirin or you take an antibiotic, how does it get to your body? It travels through the blood. Isn't it interesting that God told his people these things a few thousand years ago before the medical doctors knew anything, and I'm not sure they know too much today. Leviticus 17, verse 14. The life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Think about that. Deuteronomy 12, 23. For the blood is the life. Hey, now that's science. Now that's medicine. And God did it. Oh, I tell you, friends, you get into this stuff and you can get pretty excited about what God tells medicine and science today. For example, biotechnology, it proves God. They said, no way there could be a God. Evolution created man. There's no such thing as a creator. Oh, yeah? But now, through biotech means, man has literally created artificial life in the laboratory. And I talk to scientists and they say, you know, this causes me now to believe in God. I say, why? They say, well, if man can create us with our limited intelligence, can create artificial life in the laboratory from chemicals, then now we know God could do such a thing. Create complex forms of life. Now we've been able to clone animals, create new kinds of plants. But remember, my friends, the original materials, the original intelligence was God's. So we're just sort of using secondary sources for our building blocks. Are we not? One scientist named Freeman Dyson actually wrote a book in which he said someday there will be living spaceships. Spaceships in space. Think of Star Trek type vessels in space. But they won't be metal like we see in the movies today, the Star Wars and all that. They'll be living creatures and we will live inside of them. He said, I can see a time when a giant butterfly will fly off into space, having been created, this butterfly, as a spaceship. And it will be a living creature, but will be programmed to fly off into space and men will be inside it. Hey, maybe they never read, or maybe they did. Can you create a living spaceship? through biotechnology? Wow. Of course, they're creating DNA biological chips, biochips to be implanted to human beings to do certain functions. I go back to Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel. He had a vision and he saw some living beast. Some people say that was a UFO, but look at it. He said it was alive and it had wheels within wheels. in Ezekiel. Now, I've studied computer architecture, and let me tell you something. I've written 5 books on robots and robotics myself. See, this is my love of my life. Before I gave my heart and body and soul to God, I was into high tech. That's what I did for a living. I loved high technology. In the Air Force, I loved teaching the kids all about Star Wars systems and intermediate range missiles and ICBMs and MIRV missiles and everything I could, you know, get my hands on scientific. Oh, I love teaching all the young officer candidates those things, you know, about smart precision guided munitions and all that. But it wasn't until I really studied computer architecture that I found out that God has to be true. Of course, I already knew that from reading the Bible, but it was wonderful to read computer books. I was at a technical bookstore one time and there was a book that caught my eye. It said, "Are Robots Alive?" Well, I was very interested in robotics, writing books on robotics. In fact, I authored the very first book ever written about personal robots. You know, having your own personal robot, give it a name, can live with you at home. I wrote the book on it, the Personal Robot Book by Tex Mars. It was a main selection of the Electronics Book Club and the Computer Book Club. It's published by McGraw-Hill's Taub Books. And I was very fascinated by this book title, "Are Robots Alive?" Well, the author said, yes, they are alive in his opinion. And he gave reasons why. You know, with artificial intelligence, we have thinking computers. Now we have robots today. They can talk, they can walk, they can feel, they can sense, they can smell, they can hear, they can see. Computers get viruses. The internet, electronic systems, including wireless now means, now on the internet, connect remote places together, interconnected. We could be one giant mind like these movies that have the Borg. We're all connected to one giant mind, a wireless internet of the brain. Is this on the way? Well, it makes you think of God. If they can literally begin, and by the way, scientists at the University of Michigan have discovered a way, they say, they can read a person's thoughts. Boy, you can't hide much now.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.